KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's partly cloudy and 55 degrees. Actually, it's 25 degrees, I should say, in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy to cloudy today. A high of 46, winds southwest, shifting to the northwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with a check of some of the latest area and state news. The Atlanta Community School District's Board of Education met Wednesday evening and held an election for new officers. They elected Jenny Williams as board president and Laura McLean as vice president. Sarah Sheeter was reappointed as board treasurer and secretary. Williams succeeds Josh McLaren as president, while McLean succeeds Christy Pellet as vice president. The board furthermore decided to continue to hold their regular meetings on the second Wednesday of the month at 6 p.m. and their work or special sessions on the fourth Wednesday, also at 6 p.m. Unless otherwise noted, the meetings will be held in the Atlantic High School Media Center. The Atlantic School Board Wednesday approved the resignations of Olivia Newberg, Central Office Secretary, Beverly Jones and Christina Simonton, paraeducators, and Kim Muir with food service. They approved contract recommendations for Pam Carr, substitute special education car driver, Alyssa Dovenspike, interim assistant girls soccer coach, and Shelley Schlake as floating substitute teacher. In other business, the board approved an overnight or out-of-state trip, if you will, for the Spanish club to Costa Rica in the summer of 2022. The move allows the club to begin fundraising for the trip, which is similar to the one they're taking in 2021 and was supposed to have taken place this past summer. Atlantic Activities Director Andy Mitchell says by going again in 2022, they keep the rotation of every other year with a band trip. Their final order of business on Wednesday night was to approve the purchase of a Suburban from Detter Motor Company in the amount of $43,506. The purchase is one part of the district's transportation plan. School officials say with the purchase, there should be no new need to add new vehicles to the fleet in 2022. During their meeting in December, the Atlantic School Board is expected to act on approving an engineering services agreement with Snyder & Associates with regard to the West High School parking lot. Snyder engineer Dave Sturm said Wednesday the current parking lot is starting to turn to gravel in some areas and is displaying numerous cracks. The idea, he said, is to grind the current surface off and use the rock in the pouring of a 7-inch thick Portland cement concrete. A contractor from Anita, he said, is capable of crushing the pavement on site, thereby saving the district a good chunk of money as opposed to hauling it off site. The result would be a wider entrance for the buses on the north end, 22 additional parking stalls with basically the same amount of pavement, and alleviating some of the congestion in the area where the east and west lots come together. Pavement, he said, should last some 40 to 50 years. The board also mentioned that they would be interested in having work done on the sidewalks in front of the high school as well. The project as presented without the addition of the sidewalks is estimated to cost $746,900. The Adams County Sheriff's Office Wednesday evening said a Union County man stopped for speeding at around 3:30 p.m. Wednesday was found to be intoxicated. 21-year-old Lyndon Daniel Bright of Creston was arrested for OWI first offense. He was being held in the Adams County Jail on $1,000 bond. Red Oak Police say 32-year-old Jeremy Michael Cabe Sr. of Red Oak was arrested around 9:10 p.m. Wednesday in the 1800 block of East Summit Street. Cabe was taken into custody for simple assault. His bond was set at $300. And at around 9:35 p.m., Red Oak police arrested 20-year-old Tyler Blaine Balcom of Red Oak for domestic abuse assault first offense. Balcom was being held without bond in the Montgomery County Jail while awaiting an appearance before the magistrate. A judge in Western Iowa said he will announce a verdict tomorrow in the case of a man accused of killing his grandmother back in 2018. Elliot Stowe is charged with first-degree murder for the beating death of 66-year-old Cheryl Stowe at her rural home in Costana on June of 2018. Stowe waived his right to a jury trial, so a judge heard evidence during a four-day trial in August. Cheryl Stowe's body was found at the edge of a cornfield near her home, wrapped in a rug and duct tape. Prosecutors say Elliot Stowe had beaten her with a baseball bat. Elliot Stowe's defense team has argued that he's not guilty by reason of insanity. The Cass County Board of Supervisors Tuesday revisited the question of whether or not masks should be mandated in the county. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds on Tuesday implored Iowans to use a mask due to the daily increases in positive COVID-19 test results and hospitalizations. The board on Tuesday received at least two said emails on the matter, and Board Chair Steve Byer said there's more each person needs to do to quell the spread of the virus aside from wearing a mask or a face shield.
As far as this board's concerned, encourage people, not just masks, but all behaviors.
Every CDC
recommendation. Cut down on infection rates. I don't want to mandate that everybody take 10,000 international units of vitamin D, but we know that helps.
Nor do you have the power to do so.
And we have some businesses in town that says clearly on the door, And I would encourage our citizens to respect that. If they're going to do business in those places, if it says require a mask, our schools already are that way.
In fact, Governor Reynolds, as we mentioned previously this week, issued a new proclamation on Tuesday asking Iowans to do more to decrease the spread, including wearing masks, but she did not issue a mandate, nor have the Cass County Board of Supervisors, Supervisor Steve Green.
I think we've done some considerable research, and the Code of Iowa does not give us the power to mandate prophylactic behavior. It gives that power to the Iowa Department of Public Health and the governor.
Green said the county's coffers are small enough and he didn't want to spend the amount of money it would take to fight people who might sue over their constitutional rights being violated by a mask mandate. Supervisor John Hartkopf said it's been brought to the board's attention that two counties in Iowa have taken some measures to implement some form of a mandate, which Supervisor Green said was cherry-picked from the Iowa code to form a resolution. The interpretation comes from a gray area in the code, Auditor Dale Sunderman.
Chapter 331 basically gives counties the power to act in all things that are not forbidden to do by state.
The board did not take action on approving a mask mandate for the county, but strongly encourages residents to do whatever they can to reduce the spread of the virus. In other business, the board also voted as 5-2 to set the rate of $40 per month per employee for the use of certain county employees' personal cell phones when conducting county business. Auditor Dale Sunderman said the policy states,
the employee must provide their department head and the county auditor with their current cell phone number and are expected to carry the cell phone on their person both on and, if required by the position, off duty and to respond when called for county business. The Board of Supervisors must approve each cell phone allowance.
Elsewhere in news from across the state, a school district in north central Iowa is mourning the loss of a teacher who died 3 days after testing positive for COVID-19. KCCI reports 38-year-old Jason Engler to Belmont taught students in the Talented and Gifted or TAG program. He also coached junior high volleyball, junior high girls basketball, and had planned on coaching varsity girls track this spring for the Belmont-Clemmy School District. He died November 8th at his home. Wright County has been hit hard with the coronavirus, and that's why Belmont-Clemmy's School District did mass testing last week. Englert's family said that while they don't have an official cause of death yet, they wonder if the virus spurred a heart attack or a stroke. Englert was a native of Royal and graduated from Clay Central Everly High School. Before taking the position at BK, he taught math at Manson Northwest Webster. Prior to that, he taught at the Twin River Valley in Bode and at Afton East Union. A private family service is pending at the Warner Funeral Home in Spencer. There's been a 60% increase in the number of COVID patients in Iowa hospitals so far this month. The patient count as of last night was more than 1,200, with more than 200 in intensive care, and about half of ICU patients were on a ventilator. Test results released by the state yesterday showed nearly 4,800 more Iowans had the virus, three times the national average. Public health officials are pleading with Iowans to take precautions. The hospital in Algona posted a video on its Facebook page with Dr. Rachel Van Tyker, director of the Kossuth County Board of Health.
We have been talking about washing our hands and wearing masks basically for the last 8 months, but it is really becoming important right now because we are starting to see our local cases and our regional and state cases just really take off, and hospitalization numbers go up. And now it is just really important that we have our communities support and do the things that we ask of them.
And Tucker is urging people to plan ahead and weigh the risks of gatherings for the upcoming holidays.
We know that larger groups, there's just a bigger risk with passing illness. But even smaller groups, that risk still remains. It might be one of those years that a virtual get-together is what's in the best interest of your family and friends.
According to Van Tucker, the original plan 8 months ago was to transfer COVID patients to a larger regional hospital, but she says because of the statewide spike in COVID cases, it's become necessary for Algona's hospital to care for patients suffering from the virus. The University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics, which is the state's largest facility, has recently activated its surge plan to deal with escalating numbers of patients. Among the new coronavirus cases reported on Wednesday, more than 11% were either school-aged children under the age of 482, or adults in education, who amount number 60, who work in Iowa schools. And a High school and middle school students in Charles City were dismissed early Wednesday morning due to a possible COVID-19 case on the food service staff. In a written statement, the district's administrator said they didn't think it was wise to serve food until the staffer gets a COVID test and they can review how the situation impacts staffing. The district's website shows 17 COVID cases in the district and 101 people from the district's campuses in quarantine. Over the weekend came news a special education teacher in Charles City who fell ill with COVID in September had died. At this week's school board meeting, Charles City Superintendent Mike Fisher asked the community to do its part to ensure the school could stay open.
We're just begging and asking the community to please continue to make wise decisions, social distance, avoid large gatherings, wear your face coverings.
Fisher said it's tough and touch and go as to whether he can find enough staff to keep in-person classes going. Charles City High School and its middle school students will be out on a snow day today and tomorrow as administrators prepare for the possibility of digital days for their students. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.